Welcome to PITGO Happenings. I'm your host, Diana McFarland. I'm here to give you a front row view of county government. Welcome, PITGO listeners. Thank you for joining the program. The Pennsylvania County Board of Supervisors approved the advertisement of three public hearings on the budget, and those will be held March 28th at 7 o'clock at the boardroom at 39 Bank Street in Chatham. The three public hearings include one on the school's budget, one on the full county budget, and one on the tax rate. This budget year also includes the results of the recent reassessment, so that plays a part in the process for fiscal 2025. And for those of you who might not know why we say fiscal 2025, that's because the new fiscal year begins July 1st, 2024, and ends June 30th, 2025. That is why we are here today with Pennsylvania County Administrator Stuart Terrell and Finance Director Kim Vanderhyde, who will walk us through the budget and the process that is required by the Code of Virginia with regard to the reassessment. So Stuart and Kim, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Diana. It's really nice to be here.
Thank you, Diana. Good to be here.
Now, Mr. Terrell, as County Administrator, can you tell our listeners about how you and your staff put together this budget and some of the challenges that you faced in doing so?
Sure, I can, Diana. So first of all, let me say nobody wants more tax burden on our citizens. Every dollar that our hardworking folks make has a higher standard. We need to treat that with respect and make sure we're valuing that. But the reality is, my job and Ms. Vanderhyde is to make sure we're doing the right things financially and keeping the government on solid ground and doing things the right professional way. Now, we've had increased costs over the last 6 years, particularly with inflation. Y'all know about post-pandemic increases in everything from food to housing to gas to clothes. We've had the same impact, but there's been no corresponding tax increase over the last 6 years. So we've had increasing costs, but no offsetting revenue. So this year, as a matter of fact, we had to use fund balance, which is our savings account, to balance the budget. And, you know, government is like any business. We must have ongoing revenues that match costs to be a successful organization, just as would any business would, or we would falter as an organization and not be able to deliver the standard of service that our citizens expect of us. We can't reduce that standard. We've got to maintain it and become even more excellent at what we do to return value to the citizens. You know, so this year we had to borrow money from our own savings account. We can't continue doing that to be a fiscal steward of this county and this community. So we looked at all of the budget requests totaling $10 million, and we cut $2 million out of it. So we know that we can only do what is essential. We only included what is essential in the budget. There's no fluff in there. We are a lean organization. We move quickly to solve citizens' problems and concerns. And that's what this budget does. The 59 cents is what we've calculated gets us out of this deficit that has been building for 6 years. So we're matching ongoing revenues and expenses. And that's how we came up with the 59 cent. We didn't start with that number. We just worked the budget requests down to what was only essential to keep government operating as the citizens expect us. And this allowed us to balance the budget, not use savings, and then promote the areas that we know are important for the community. We were able to add an additional $1.1 million for the sheriff, $1.5 million for fire and rescue. We know how important our volunteers and our paid fire rescue staff are to this community and the sheriff, and to add $2.5 million for the school system. They score consistently in the top 12 to 15% across all academic sectors. We need to maintain that excellence. We have an excellent school system. We're here to promote and build on that. And we could do other quality of life things, such as recreation programs. We want to update the comprehensive plan to protect our agricultural heritage while providing economic development opportunity and perhaps more workforce housing options. This budget allows us to do that and also to set ourselves up for a debt reserve fund that can handle the big long-term capital projects we see coming down the road. We have this opportunity to do all these things and get us up out of the deficit that we've been in. Bill that's been building, make sure we're on solid financial ground, and we are. We have a strong fund balance. This just builds on the excellent work that staff have done, the finance officer, Ms. Vanderhyde, to put us on solid financial ground, and keeps us moving forward. We must move forward as a community, not backward. We can't be stagnant. We cannot be stagnant. We must move forward to address the future needs of this community. This allows us to put the organization at the appropriate staffing to be efficient in the way we respond to customer service requests, from everything from water, sewer breaks to fire rescue service.
Well, thank you, Mr. Terrell. I hope our listeners got a real feel for where the county came from when it came to crafting the budget for this upcoming year. Now we're going to turn over to Ms. Vanderhyde, and she's going to talk about how this advertisement for the budget is based on a 59-cent real estate tax rate, and this does represent a change from the current 62-cent rate, and that was due to the reassessment. So, Ms. Vanderhyde, can you tell us how the reassessment impacted the budget this year, what is required by the Code of Virginia when it comes to setting a tax rate, and can that advertised tax rate change as this process evolve?
I'd be glad to, Diana. So the reassessment is dictated by the Code of Virginia as outlined in section 58.1-3252. A general reassessment for all localities is required every 4 years. And so we've done that in the past. And many of our listeners, I'm sure, will remember that 2 years ago, we invalidated our reassessment that was due 4 years at that time. And because of that, that's why we're kind of 6 years behind. We had to scramble and get someone to do our reassessment, and those figures will actually become effective January 1, 2024. And so in looking at that, the code is very specific when it comes to reassessment, and it talks about that you shouldn't just use your reassessment as a means to gain revenue without notifying your taxpayers of such increase. For most people, we had an average increase of 48%, so we had to look at our levy that was levied last year and determine if we could only gain 1% over that revenue, which is what the code allows, what would our tax rate have to be? So all things considered, we would have lowered that tax rate to 45 cents. And all of this is outlined in the advertisement that will go in next week's Star Tribune, and it will tell you exactly how that process went. It was actually an increase of roughly 37%. And so as such, this proposal of 59 cent, which, as Mr. Terrell told you all of the things that we did have to cover, it covers the items that we felt necessary for our government to run efficiently. That is why we're advertising this 59 cent rate. It is a rate that is not set in stone at this point. We have a public hearing that is set, and that advertisement does speak to that. It is Thursday, March the 28th at 7 p.m., and we'd invite all of our taxpayers to come out, and we would like to hear from you all and how this will impact you. We hope that you will glean from us the challenges that we have in providing the services that our citizens do expect in our community. So basically, that is the process. So 59 cent is not certainly something set in stone. It is something that we can work with depending on what we hear from our citizens.
So that is how the Code of Virginia outlines, you know, the parameters that the county can work with when it comes to reassessment and devising a budget. So, Ms. Vanderhyde, is this budget bigger than the previous year, and how much and why is that?
So our budget this year is 2.7% higher than it was in the past year. So currently our budget totals $239,161,887. And that does include a large portion of that for our schools. Their total budget is $122 million of that amount. Also, a large portion is for our general fund. And our general fund, for many people who don't realize what goes in there, are just the general government services that are provided, such as county administration, our judicial system is in there, our sheriff's office, corrections and detention, public safety, the things that you would normally hear in government. And so those things are located there. So that was a very large increase for us this year, just because of inflation that's occurred in the last 6 years, our lack of being able to do a lot of capital items, and we wanted to take care of our public safety. And so a lot of those drive that, along with that school contribution. So our general fund actually increased by 10%, while other things, and you may say, well, why did it only go up 2.7%? Well, the reason for that is our past budget had a lot of federal money that we received from ARPA and from CARES that was still part of that budget. I would also like to add that this year's budget budget does include the new 1% sales tax that was included. We have included a total of $3.5 million. That is coming in very nicely, and it's going to help us do so many capital projects for our school system that otherwise taxpayers would have to bear that burden on themselves.
Now, can you tell our listeners what is new in this budget in terms of staffing, fire and rescue, and capital needs?
Sure. I'll start with some of our positions that are included. We do have 7 full-time positions that are included in this budget, 4 of which are in the public safety realm, an IT help desk person, a recreation youth sports coordinator, and also a case manager for our community and policy management team. We also have 3 part-time positions that are converting to full-time, 1 for our registrar and 2 for our 911 dispatch office. And then lastly, we are requesting a part-time position in the Brosville Library as an assistant. And so that is some of our staffing needs. We have been short of staff for a very long time. As Mr. Terrell alluded to, we are a very lean organization. Many folks wear many different hats. And so we try to do the very best with as little staff as possible, but sometimes you just have to add staff. Another area of great interest to our board particularly was to make sure that our public safety folks were taken care of. And as I stated previously, there are currently 4 positions that are in this budget, and they are to support a new ambulance station in the 640 area. We are hopeful that that can remain in our budget, but of course that will have to be looked at closely to see, number one, do we have the funds once we determine a tax rate for sure and go from there. We also provided a lot of good things for our volunteers to include an increase to their base funding amount. In addition, we did some maintenance contracts for them to help make sure that the equipment they use, especially in the EMS side of things, was good and up to date and fully maintained. Other things that we included for our EMS people is additional training, some additional funds for support, software support. We also included some increases for their capital. As you and I both know, cars and trucks and things like that have gone up in price. Likewise, those big fire engines and ambulances are also going up in cost. And because of that, we're increasing our contribution toward those things. So we provide contributions to our volunteers for 2 fire trucks a year and 2 ambulances a year. And so those contributions now will be a little bit more. Our fire truck contribution was $200. It's going to $225. And our ambulances went from $125 to $150, which should help them move their agency along and help them a little bit. We'd really like to help a lot more, but you have to spread that around. We're also doing a lot of capital into our buildings here. One of the main projects that we're working on for this coming year is to our Moses building. That's where we house our sheriff's office. That project alone is $1.5 million. We're also needing some upgrades to some software needs, like we have a new portal that will help our citizens to be able to get building permits now, sitting from the comfort of their home instead of driving to Chatham. And that could be a far away if you're coming from Hurt or all the way in the Brosville area. So we're hopeful that that'll help our citizens. We're also doing some things with, as Mr. Terrell mentioned, our comprehensive plan. That has not been updated in quite a while. We're also in need of some voting equipment. And so hopefully over a 2-year period, we'll be able to replace that equipment that has outlived its life. And we're not able to get service like we were before. So these things that we're talking about are things that, you know, just something that we just didn't want to do, but things that we needed to do. Another item is our bookmobile. We need to replace that. That's also an end of life. So many things that are there and many things that we do need to fund. It didn't come without a lot of, you know, studying to see, is this something we need to do this year or something that we could put off? So we've made some adjustment. Instead of funding it all, we're going to do our very best to gain grants to help offset some of that cost so that it doesn't all fall on the shoulders of our taxpayers.
Okay. I know the bottom line for most folks is, how much is this going to cost me? Can you explain how the amount of tax someone will owe is based on the value of their individual property? That is, the more expensive a property or the more it's valued, the more it will be assessed for taxes. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Can I just make one comment on that? So folks, when your home value goes up, it's actually a sign that the county is on solid ground and doing things right. Because I've worked and lived in communities where property values have declined because the community isn't safe, it doesn't have good schools, no one wants to live there. Property values, your primary asset being your home, don't improve in your own wealth, in your own capital stock. And that's because the county government hasn't done, in my opinion, everything it could to provide an environment where housing values improve. Well, it can be perceived that taxes go up when your housing value goes up. You're also, your primary asset improves in value, which is a sign that you live in a healthy, growing county, and government is part of that.
And so just to give you an idea, if you have an average priced home, and we've done some research, and the median house before reassessment was around $125,000. So if we just looked at that type of home, that particular home had a value increase because of reassessment of 48%, that home would now be valued at $185,000. And so because of that, if we applied this new 59-cent tax rate, this particular individual that owns a $185,000 home would pay an additional $316.50 per year. And that equates to roughly $26.37 per month. And so whereas we don't feel that that is an overwhelming burden, we do realize that this first time it will be something to come up with that extra money. So, you know, hopefully our citizens, the ones that are listening to this podcast, would start to put that money aside so that they know that they have it. And so, you know, just know that we're doing the very best we can to cut the budget as much as possible. And of course, if you have a higher cost house than that or a higher priced house than that, of course, your burden is going to be a little bit higher. And of course, if it's less, it's going to be a little less. So don't just be stuck on, oh, my tax will be $300 more. It depends on the cost of your property and the value of your property.
Thank you, Ms. Vanderhyde. Now, when will residents and property owners see a change in their tax bill?
So this tax rate will be effective January 1, 2024, which is really already passed, but they will see that in their tax bill that will be due on June the 10th, 2024. So it's just right around the corner. So we do want to prepare our citizens to receive that bill. And that's why it's so pertinent for us to get this budget passed so that our Commissioner of Revenue and our Treasurer can do their job to get the bills in the hands of taxpayers so that they know exactly what they're going to pay at least 30 days before that bill date is due.
And given that the timeline that's set holds, when will the board make the final approval on the budget?
The final approval is set for April the 4th of this year, so it's just right around the corner. So just to remind everyone, that public hearing is March the 28th, and our board will hear citizen input, and they are unable to approve that budget at that time, code allows for them to have 7 days to think that over and to make any changes to it before they make that a final approval on April the 4th.
Okay. Mr. Terrell, is there anything you would like to say wrapping up about the budget?
Just to summarize, again, no one wants more taxes. We are here to give the best possible value for every hard-earned dollar that y'all are paying and earning in your occupations, and we respect that. We've done everything we can to cut out anything out of this budget that was not essential to customer service. And as I stated, particularly, we want to grow and protect the sheriff and fire rescue and the school system, and also do some quality of life things, set ourselves up for recreation programs, and also provide for long-term capital projects such as the new jail and the courthouse complex, possibly a future recreation center. We had to think forward, not just to today, but set ourselves up at the tax rate that will give us success, not just today, but over the next 4 years, so we can build a better community moving forward and not be stagnant, but protect our citizens and plan and invest in the future. This isn't a budget that just looks backward. It looks forward. It looks forward to an optimistic future for this community. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Terrell and Ms. Vanderhyde. Thank you for talking to our listeners, and hopefully it helps them understand the budget process better.
It was a pleasure being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Pitco Happenings, I hope you learned something informative. If you have a question or want to make a comment, give me a call or send a text to 434-489-8739.